today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us rediscover the true meaning of Christmas.
When you go wherever you go shopping, when you go to the mall and someone says to you, Happy Holidays, put a big smile on your face, pull out a gospel track and say, Merry Christmas. Let me give you something that'll tell you about Jesus Christ and what Christmas is really all about. If Jesus is your Lord, be like the shepherds who made known abroad everywhere they went. They said, you will not believe what we've seen or who we've met. His name is Jesus. And if you are saved, tell somebody about Jesus Christ this week.
The story of Christmas is so often lost in the busyness of the holiday season. In our series, The True Meaning of Christmas, Pastor Chappell will take us back to the place where Christ was born and remind us of why He came and what His birth means for us today. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Although Jesus is the reason for the season, He is often overlooked and hardly mentioned in conversations. Yet the entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. In today's series, we will discover how to wade through worldly holiday diversions and find Christ in Christmas. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Christmas Story.
We're going to turn our attention to the hillsides around Bethlehem, and we're going to announce this morning that God has answered the question that Jesus Christ is His Son, virgin born. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross for our sin and rose again the third day for our justification. This morning, when you look at verse number 8, the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Here we see the countryside around Bethlehem. We're reminded that Bethlehem was just a few miles south and still is today, just a few miles south of Jerusalem, a hilly country, a country that was agriculture in nature and still is to this day. And so it was in a shepherding area where Jesus Christ was born. And we learn from the Word of God that it was this obscure corner of the world where God chose to announce and to bring His Son into the world. The angel's announcement, however, that we read a moment ago is far more than just exciting news. It's far more than just an historical account. It is, in fact, a life-changing truth for all who open their heart and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I draw to your attention our text, which is found in verse number 11. And I want you to see what the Bible says there. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I want you to lift your voices with me this morning and read that verse number 11, if you would. That's going to be our focal point today. Luke 2:11, it's in your notes, it's in your Bible. And so let's read it together. Ready, begin. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. All right, let's read it again one more time. Lift up your voices together. Ready, begin. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a which is. So who is Jesus? Then that's the question that many seem to ask even to this day. Who is Jesus? And He is given to us in this announcement. God has given to us an announcement. The angel of the Lord is giving it. The angelic host, perhaps tens of thousands of angels, are crying out to us and telling us this morning who Jesus is. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. And so I want you to notice with me, first of all, that Jesus is the Savior. The Bible says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And the Savior is a deliverer. He is the preserver. He is the one who delivers us from our sin. He is the one who keeps us in relationship with God. I could not do that on my own. You cannot do that on your own. There is only one who could accomplish such deliverance, and that is Jesus Christ the Savior. Dwight Pentecost, in his works, The Words and Works of Jesus Christ, wrote, the angel called Him a Savior. As Savior, He would deliver people from bondage and sin. This Savior was none other than Christ the Lord. Now, let me say briefly this morning that every one of us here need a Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us can save ourselves. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We could try to clean up our own lives, but it's like trying to wash a car with an oily rag. You never can quite get it done because we ourselves need the forgiveness that can only come through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, I saw a little cartoon of Dennis the Menace, and he was snuggled up on Santa Claus' lap, and he was speaking into that bespeckled, bearded face, and he looked at Santa Claus, and he said, now, I'm working on being good. Can you give me just a couple more weeks of time, please? And how many of you have lived long enough to know that it takes more than just a couple more weeks and that none of us are going to ever be good enough to stand before God on our own? We all fall short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. And so it is because of His incarnation, because God became man and dwelt among us, because of this miracle we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was able to go to the cross and shed His blood for our sin and become the payment for sin, the Savior of the world. We learned about it last week in 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You see, God took the form of man and was manifest in the flesh in Bethlehem's manger more than 2,000 years ago as our Savior. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, for He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ knew no sin, but He took your sin and mine, every lie, every thought, every wicked deed that we would ever commit or ever will commit was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And there, as the Savior of the world, He died with our sin upon Him in order that we might be forgiven, in order that He might provide salvation for all who would believe. That includes, first of all, the common man. He is the Savior of the common man. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field by night. These shepherds were common men, and God chose to come to them with the message of salvation. I want you to understand, these men were just like us in every way, emotionally. They were men who were worried. The Bible says in verse 9, they were sore afraid. The Greek words there, mega phobia. I mean, they were really scared. They were so afraid when they saw those angels there. They didn't know what to think. They were worried men. They were working men like us. They were men just going out and doing their best to provide perhaps for their families. They were in the fields working, and they were men who were very common men of that day. In fact, they were perhaps what we would see in history a little bit less than the common man. The fact is that according to Jewish laws, they would have been deemed unclean men. Ceremonially, because of their working with these animals, they were unclean. And the Jewish Mishnah would have referred to them as being men who were under a ban, or men who were to be separate from Jewish society. They would have been considered a very low part of Jewish society, a very, very common indeed. In fact, the only people considered lower than the shepherds were the lepers. And so when God announces His arrival, He says to these men that there is hope for all of them, and hence there is hope for all of us, because even though they were lowly, even though they were sinners, God came to them with the good news of His Son. And I'm simply saying this to you this morning because it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God loves you, and Jesus came to save you. And it's not just for the select few, and it's not just for the perfect few, and it's not just for the religious few. It's for all who will believe that salvation has been made available. You see, the shepherds, though they were common people, nevertheless, God loved them. How many of you are thankful that God loves common people like us? Not just the select few, but all who will believe. I heard about a teacher who was talking to her class, and she called one of the girls over, and she said, Vicky, what did you and your mother do yesterday? And she said, Well, my mother done her shopping yesterday, ma'am. And the teacher said, Vicky, done her shopping? Where's your grammar? And Vicky said, well, she's with mom too. And I don't know if the shepherds were like that, you know, just kind of common folks, working folks. I don't know exactly, but I know this, God loved them. And I don't know what your background is, and I don't know what your past may or may not be, but I know this, God loves you, and He sent a Savior for you, and He proves to us His love in the very Christmas story, with His Son being born in a stable, with the shepherds being the first to hear the news. And though the shepherds were looked upon oftentimes with disdain, and they were viewed as a lower part of society, yet God somehow, from the Old and the New Testaments, loved shepherds, and He reached out to them, and He spoke to them, and He spoke through them. Abel was the first shepherd, and Abraham had his flocks in the Ur of the Chaldee, and Isaac and Jacob had their flocks, and Moses was a shepherd before God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and David was the beloved shepherd of Israel, and Jesus Christ Himself in John chapter 10 is referred to as the good shepherd. And I simply say to you this morning that God loves you, and that He brought His message to the shepherds through a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all who realize they need a Savior can see that He loves us where we are. He came by way of the shepherds. He also, the Bible says, also loves all people. Notice in verse 10, it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see, Christianity is not just an American religion. Christianity is not just for a select few. Christianity is for all people. Jesus said in Luke 5:31, He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said, anybody who realizes they need salvation, I'm calling them. I have salvation for them. Matthew 9:36 says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, as because they fainted as they were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. And so Jesus is the Savior of the common man. He is the Savior of the seeking man as well. All who will seek Him will find salvation. The Bible says in verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The angel of the Lord says, if you'll seek Him out in Bethlehem, you'll find that He's lying in a manger. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, and ye shall seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. And you might be in this church house this morning wondering, is there a God? Does God love me? Is it possible to have a relationship with God? And the Bible promises that all who seek Him can find Him, because He came down for you. The Son of Man, Luke 19:10, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come down for all the world to know the love of God. And whosoever will can be saved, you see. He's the Savior of the world. But the Bible says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, but notice the next phrase, which is Christ the Lord. So Jesus is the Savior, but Jesus, secondly, is the Christ. He is referred to as the Savior, the Deliverer. He is referred to as the Christ. The word Christ is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, or Anointed One. Jesus is referred to as the promised one of Israel, the anointed one, the one that Israel had looked to for their deliverance, the Messiah, the Son of God. Acts 2 and 36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God the Father has deemed, has stated that His Son is Lord, His Son is Christ, the Anointed One. And so I want you to recognize Jesus, according to the Scriptures, is the Savior. According to the Scriptures, is the Christ. Now notice this word Christ, and notice that He is announced as such, first of all, by the angels. He is announced as Christ by the angels. Verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, the angels in Scripture are ministering spirits, or the messengers of God. Many times special ministry is given by the angels. Often special messages are given by the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." Hebrews 1 and 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So the angels were ministering spirits. They were messengers of God. But there seems to be realms and ranks of these angels. We have learned that Gabriel was an angel uniquely used of God to come to Mary, to come to the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias. We have heard of Michael, the other named angel in the Bible. But this angel is unique that we're reading about in these verses today. It is referred to, in verse number 9, he is referred to as the angel of the Lord. On very special occasions in the Bible, the angel of the Lord will make an appearance. The angel of the Lord would give a special visible appearance. And I believe that often these can be referred to as a Christophany or the appearance of the pre-incarnate Lord himself. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember that he is the Word, the eternal Word. And in the Old Testament, we see these Christophanies on numerous occasions. For example, in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." And so it was that Jesus Christ, in the pre-incarnate stage, referring to himself here as the captain of the Lord's host, made appearance to Joshua. So it is in this moment in Luke chapter 2 that while Jesus Christ is in the manger, he as the all-knowing, all-present God, he who is omnipresent, is not only in Bethlehem's manger, but is also declaring his presence as the angel of the Lord with the heavenly host accompanying him to these shepherds. Now we see in the scriptures that Gabriel came to Mary, but it was the angel of the Lord that came to Joseph and that came to the shepherds. Notice in Matthew 1:20 it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And so the angel of the Lord has the brightness of the glory of God upon him and is coming to announce the wonderful news that will divide human history and the news that will bring salvation to all. Jesus is Christ, and it is announced by the angels and specifically by the angel of the Lord. But notice also this Christ is adored by the heavenly hosts. Adored by the heavenly hosts. Now pick it up with me in verse 13. The Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here we see and here we hear from the multitude of the heavenly host. This was one of the greatest events in human history. Perhaps tens of thousands of angels are now praising God and glorifying God as the Son of God has been born in Bethlehem. And they cry out, "Glory to God in the highest," giving God glory for what he is now providing. The word glory is the word doxa, which means majesty to God, giving majesty and glory to God for the great thing that he had done on behalf of mankind. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse 6, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And that's what they're doing. They're worshiping God. They're singing praise to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, the angels understood that peace with God was possible when we were reconciled to God. And the way of reconciliation has now been forever provided for the Jew and for the Gentile in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace could be known. It does not matter then what's happening in your life. It does not matter where you live or what's going on. What matters is, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? If you do, then there is peace available for you. Look in your notes at Colossians 1:19. Colossians 1:19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell," speaking of Jesus, "and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We have seen this past week from California to Connecticut. The devil attempts to rob peace, and the devil is a destroyer, and he is a thief, just like Jesus said. But the angels cry aloud and bring glory to God, and they say, peace can still be attained by men who find reconciliation through this one who has come, who find peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth towards all men was their message in verse 14. And as they gave this cry, they said, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They knew that that would be available through the person and the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one, the one whom the angels tell us will bring peace to all who find reconciliation through him with God, the Heavenly Father. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. But notice what else it says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. And what do the last two words say? Say it again. The Lord. He is Savior. He is Christ. He is the Lord. The word here is Kyrios. It means a title of honor. It means master, one to whom we respect, to whom we give reverence, and to whom we give deference. This is a title given to God, given to the Messiah. He is Lord. And I want to say today, he is Lord whether he is recognized as Lord in your life or not, whether your friends see him as Lord or not, whether he is worshiped as Lord or not, Jesus is Lord. I want you to realize many today hate that message, and they hate the Christmas message. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we believe his lordship for many reasons. We believe his lordship because of fulfilled Bible prophecy. Over 350 prophecies in the Old Testament predicted the first coming of Jesus Christ, the way he would come, how he would come, when he would come, prophesied. The first promise concerning the coming of Christ was given all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It is prophesied that the seed of the woman, that seed could only come of the Holy Ghost, for the woman does not produce seed. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. Oh, Satan bruised the heel of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. But when Jesus rose up on the third day, he bruised the head of Satan. It was prophesied in the book of Genesis that Jesus Christ would be Lord. It was prophesied that he would come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, or Jesus, come, and unto him shall be the gatherings of the people be. It was prophesied that he would be born of the virgin. It was prophesied that he would be of the house of David. You see, we believe Jesus is Lord because of the fulfillment of prophecy concerning Jesus Christ coming as King and coming as Lord. We believe that Jesus is Lord because of recorded history. The history of even this book of Luke records for us in great exacting detail. And while the atheists will worship their own versions of history and their own classic works of literature, they tend to deny completely the Bible, even as a book of history. Oh, the Bible is much more than that. It is an inspired, infallible record of God. But the Bible is a great book of history as well. And I remind you of that this morning. It has been scrutinized. Even this book of Luke, by the so-called higher critics, by the students of history and by the students of ancient literature. One of the men who early on studied this book of Luke from a historical standpoint was a man named Sir William Ramsay. He did one of the most extensive studies of Acts and Luke that was ever undertaken. He studied it against various different studies and books of the day and texts that had been archaeologically found and discovered from the first century. And Ramsay said, Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, he is possessed of the true historic sense. In short, this author should be placed along with the very greatest of historians. You see, the book we're reading this morning gives us names, it gives us specific places, it gives us specific accounts of history, and it helps us to understand how God became man and dwelt among us, and the miracles that he did and the works that he accomplished are all recorded here in the book of Luke.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Christmas is a Gift, Unwrapping the Significance of the Season. Through this inspirational book, you can experience God's presence, know His peace, and live with His continual joy. Discover the difference the gift of Christmas can make in your life all year long. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.